Our study tonight is in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 37, God's new covenant with Israel and Judah. When God's people face hard times, be they trials due to punishment for sin or persecution for the sake of righteousness, the Lord knows they need to be encouraged, so He provides it. After predicting the Babylonian captivity, God had Jeremiah predict His promises of not only restoring His people from that captivity, but of providing a new covenant with them, one that changed His relationship with them for the better, in Jeremiah 31, 31 to 37. So we view that passage for our insight and edification. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Jeremiah 31, 31 to 37. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant they broke, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall know all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth a sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon, and the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is His name. If those ordinances depart from me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Okay, God's new covenant with Israel and Judah. The Lord announced that in the future He would make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, the united nation of Israel. However, it would differ from the covenant that He had made with their forefathers when He took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt, for they could and did break that covenant. Rather, the new covenant would have improved characteristics, and Dr. Ryrie in his study Bible has listed those four characteristics in a footnote to Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34. First of all, it would be unconditional. For instead of having the law given to the people in an external way where it was written on stone tables at Mount Sinai, it would be written inwardly in their hearts. See, the law that they had in Moses was just on tables of stone. You could break it. It didn't affect the heart. And in time, that's exactly what Israel did. They broke it. Well, God is going to write the law in the heart. Inwardly in the heart, where they won't have the motive to break it. They'll want to keep it. With the law of God written on their hearts, the people of Israel and Judah would truly worship God as their God, and the Lord would truly view Israel and Judah as His people. This pictures the coming spiritual fellowship between the Lord and His people. As believers, we fellowship with the Lord right now, and someday the nation Israel, as a nation, is going to know this relationship that we have with the Lord, and they'll fellowship with Him. It'll be a true spiritual. The Lord will say that the people are His people, and they will say that He is their God. In a marriage contract in Israel, in ancient Israel, when a man got married, he would say that she was my wife, and then she would say, He is my husband. And God is using this picture. I will say, you are my people, and you will say, you are my Lord. So it's a spiritual marriage between God's people and the Lord. Instead of teaching one another to know the Lord, the people of Israel and Judah with God's law written on their hearts would all know Him, from the least of them to the greatest of them. Well, you know, that's going to be great. Get into eternity, you're going to have a world full of people. They won't have to say, know the Lord or anything like that. People are going to have complete theological knowledge of what's going on. And it's just going to be a wonderful time. At that time and under those conditions, God would graciously forgive the iniquity and remember the sin of His people no more. Now remember, the sins of his people were so great that God had driven them into captivity. He'd driven the northern kingdom into captivity in Israel, in Assyria, the southern kingdom into captivity into Babylon. But the day is going to come when all of those sins are going to be completely not only forgiven, but God says, I won't even remember them. In fact, there's a passage, I don't know if it's in the Psalms or Isaiah, where God says, I've put your sins between my shoulder blades. Now, the only time I've ever seen between my shoulder blades, I had two mirrors. I had a mirror in the bathroom, and then I had a mirror over my head, and I could look between my shoulder blades. That's the first time, and the only time I've ever seen between my shoulder blades. But you cannot physically look between your shoulder blades by trying to turn your head around. So when God says, I'm going to put your sins between my shoulder blades, that means it's out of sight, out of mind. That's it. As far as God's concerned, he's going to say, what sin? I don't know any sin. I don't see any sin. Isn't that wonderful? The forgiveness of God will be absolutely complete. Now, this covenant will be fulfilled in the end times when the Lord returns to the earth. One of the passages that I saved out for us here is Romans chapter 11, verses 26 and 27. So all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. That the covenant is the covenant of Jeremiah 31. That's going to happen at the end times. Now, emphasizing the permanence of the nation Israel because of this new covenant, God added that as the Lord of hosts had appointed the sun to shine by day, the moon and the stars to shine by night, and the sea to be stirred up so that its waves roared in great might, he had likewise determined that Israel would be his chosen nation, that she would not cease to be his people any more than these ordinances would fail. So the next time you wonder if God has given up on Israel, and I go out and look up and see if there's a sun, see if there's a moon, see if there's stars, go out to the beach and see if there are seas. And now, here in Connecticut, we have a very soft beach. We have the Long Island Sound. Go out to Rhode Island, go out beyond Long Island, okay? Go out to Cape Cod where you see the sea that's crashing, and see the might of those waves. As long as those waves are there, the moon's up there, the sun's up there, the stars are up there, God has a hope for Israel. So that's a wonderful promise that God has given to his people. The Lord added that if the heavens above could be measured and the foundations of the earth beneath be searched out, only then would he cast off Israel, even for all the sins that she had committed. What's exciting is when you get a Hubble telescope and you send it out into space around the earth, and we see farther into the distant universe than what we've ever seen before. Guess what? They see just more stars and more galaxies out there, and they still haven't seen the end of the universe. You can't measure it. It's way out there. And in fact, I understand Answers in Genesis said that way out at the edge of what they have been able to find with the Hubble telescope, there is a string of 25 galaxies. It looks like a string of pearls, just like they're all lined up like that. And they've never seen anything like it. It's way, way, way out there. And it's just like God created that out there, so when Hubble telescope finally got out there, they could see the glory of God. And these are supposedly very developed galaxies. They're not new or anything. They would be very well developed as far as evolutionists are concerned, and they can't figure out. And they're all lined up like a string of pearls, just like that. And it's just amazing. You can't measure it. And so God is going to keep his word. Now, this new covenant God predicted for Israel was instituted at Christ's death and announced by Jesus at the Last Supper. Many times you've heard me when we've done the Lord's, when we've celebrated the Lord's table. I've said this and I've translated this differently. And Jesus said in Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood of the New Testament. The word testament actually is the word covenant, and that's why I translate it New Covenant. This is the new covenant that he's referring to is the new covenant of Jeremiah 31. Okay? And so we're celebrating the Lord's table in reference to Jeremiah 31. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I say unto you, I will not drink it henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And so Jesus himself is looking forward to partaking of the cup of the vine in his glorified body when he comes back as the Messiah. And we're looking forward to that. That's going to be quite an event. Now, we need to explain how this affects the church. If Jeremiah 31, 31 to 37 clearly states that God will make the covenant with the nation Israel. If God's making his covenant with nation Israel, how is the church in this? Now, believe it or not, you'll have amillennialists who will say, this means that the Israel and the church are the same. They're not. We explain. The church, by way of her union with Jesus Christ, who happens to be the Messiah of the coming Messianic kingdom of Israel, the church today participates in some of the benefits of that covenant to the nation Israel. The reason we do is because we're united to the Messiah. We are attached to the Messiah. As I said before, I remember Mark Bennett and Bruce Worley and Bruce's brother Steve, they were in a meeting one time and they put in a conference call to me and they said, you know, this is the pits. As Jews, we're going to lose, if we're Christians, we're going to lose our right to the inheritances that our forefathers had in the Messianic kingdom. That's bad. And I said, what do you as Jews think of would you be willing to give up your right to your tribal inheritances if you could be part of the elite bodyguard of the Messiah? Oh, yeah. Every one of the guys said, oh, man, yeah. Because in Judaism, being part of the Messiah, close to the Messiah, that's five gold stars. That's right at the top of the heap. I said, well, since you are belonging to the body of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, you're part of the elite bodyguard of the Messiah. And you should have heard these Jewish fellows saying, yeah, whoo, you know. Oh, they thought that was so cool. And so they were delighted then to be part of the church. As Gentiles, we don't understand. We don't appreciate what we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our attachment to Christ, being in Christ, puts us right into the highest cups of the blessing. We are the spoiled flock of God. As Gentiles, as people who belong to the church, as Jews belong to the church, we're spoiled. Now, some of the spiritual blessings Israel will experience in the Messianic kingdom, we in the church era know today, blessings like the indwelling and gifting of the Holy Spirit for life and service, Acts chapter 2, 14 to 21, and Peter there quotes Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 32. In fact, Ryrie in his footnote says the fulfillment of this Joel 2, 28, 32 prophecy will be in the last days, immediately preceding the return of Christ, when all the particulars, example of verse 20 in Revelation 6:20 of the prophecy, Revelation 6:20 talks about the sun and the moon turning to blood, of the prophecy will come to pass. And that prophecy was given to us. Peter refers to that in the book of Acts. And let me quote it for you. Acts chapter 2, I'll get it here for you. At the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon everybody and people were speaking in tongues and so forth, and Peter standing up, Acts 2:14, with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all yet dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. These are not drunken men as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken of by Joel. That would be the Jewish prophet Joel. And he quotes from Joel 2, 28 to 32. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, upon all flesh. Now he's pouring it only upon believers who know Christ as their Savior now. But in those days he's going to pour it out on all flesh because you're going to have nothing but believers left when you start the kingdom. And your sons and your daughters, these are Jewish people, shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, both men and women, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and the signs the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. That's the sixth seal. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay. That has yet to find its fullest fulfillment. And that will occur at the second coming of Christ. But the church enters into that now because of its relationship to Jesus. So, God will make a new covenant with Israel and Judah at the start of the millennial kingdom that will be unconditional, with the law of God written on their hearts rather than just on stone tablets. And incidentally, that occurs for us too. The law of God's written on our hearts as believers. We're given a new heart. We're given a new nature. Resulting in spiritual fellowship with God, a full knowledge of the Lord, and forgiveness of sins for Israel. Since the church is the bride of Christ, the Messiah of that kingdom, we Christians today participate in some of the blessings of that covenant through the new birth that results in a new nature, the indwelling presence and power of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit's spiritual gifts of supernatural enablings for Christian service. So, may we believers in the church rejoice that we enjoy some of the blessings of the new covenant now, and may we take advantage of the opportunity God gives us to walk by the Holy Spirit's power for life and service. We actually are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, which is one of the blessings in the Messianic Kingdom. We can actually live a supernatural life without sinning and serve God with the spiritual gifts that He's given us to make supernatural headway for Christ in the discipling process because of the Holy Spirit. We really need to take advantage of this tremendous opportunity that God has given us to live by means of the Spirit, relying on the Spirit, using the gift that God has given us, doing the assignments that God has given us, and God will bless us.